Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. Today, we're going to explore our endocrine system and its relationship to our chakras. This is a complex topic, but it's incredibly important for everyone listening to understand how these two systems work in conjunction with one another to keep you healthy. My show for the next 2 weeks is going to explore the energetic physical connection that we have working within our bodies and what we can do to change our system into one of health and wellness. Some of you listening may want to grab a piece of paper and something to write with so you can make a couple of notes. You're going to probably hear a few things that will make you think about your own health or possibly the health of someone that you love. So let's look at the endocrine system first. And it is defined as a collection of glands that produce hormones that regulate metabolism, growth, development, tissue functions, sexual functions, reproduction, sleep and mood, just to name a few things. So it's a very important system within our bodies. Some of the main parts, there's a lot of different parts in the body that make hormones, but the major glands that make up the endocrine system are the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the thyroid, the parathyroids, the adrenals, the pineal body, the ovaries, and the testes. So some of those organs you're going to recognize, and some of them may not be as familiar with you. So the endocrine organs themselves are located throughout the body, and it turns out that every single chakra has an endocrine organ in it. So now we're going to just look a little bit at what are these things that we call chakras. The word itself means wheel, and each chakra is a lot like a ball of energy. And sometimes these energy fields are even called vortexes because they kind of look like a little tornado. You cannot see the energy centers because they aren't made of physical matter, so they can't show up on x-rays. But our chakras are responsible for our physical, emotional, and spiritual health and well-being. Now, some of you may want to look it up, and there's a ton of information on the internet, so I'm going to spell the word for you. It's C-H-A-K-R-A. And where are they in our body? Well, we have six that are actually within our physical body. And then there are six that are above our head. Most people have at least heard of the seven chakras, but the other five are much less well known. So the first six that are balanced within us begin at the base of the spine, and then they continue up through the body to the throat area and to the space that is in between your eyebrows, which is called the third eye. The crown chakra is slightly above the top of your head. And then the remaining five chakras are above that crown chakra, and they're kind of stacked in an even way, going upward. So our chakras then distribute energy to the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, and the mental aspects of who we are. And these vortexes then interweave, and they look a lot like our spine. Each one has a color, and I'll share the colors with you as we go throughout the program today. And there's also internal organs, as I've said, in each one. So the chakras are referred to as our sacred energy centers. And when they're open, and their energy is balanced, and that's the key, it needs to be balanced, then they flow with what we call life or chi. These energy centers open up with our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions. So when you're feeling negative, you're going to feel it in a corresponding chakra, depending upon what the negativity is directed towards. When you're feeling positive, you also feel it in a corresponding chakra. So they give the body vitality and they support you through what we're going to call this journey to enlightenment. Chakras also communicate with our physical body through this endocrine system and our nervous system. So if this condition that happens to be negative remains that way for a long period of time without getting resolved, then you're going to have a physical symptom. It's going to be created. This is the body's way of telling that person that there is a problem and that it exists because of these unresolved feelings or perceptions. It's something that you dwell on a regular basis. Since our awareness could lead to correcting the problem, we can actually restore our health. However, if we keep ignoring what our body is telling us, then these symptoms simply are going to become worse, and they can eventually lead to major health problems and possibly even death. Most people do not realize that our consciousness communicates with every single cell in our body. This process can actually be measured through something called Kirlian photography. And some people have seen these photographs that define or they show colors or auras. So this kind of photography is defined again as a collection of photographic techniques that's used to capture the phenomenon of electrical coronal discharges. And think of the sun. The sun gives off that coronal flare. You know, you can see it on the outside of the sun if you've watched anything on science about how the sun looks. So in the past, if you've ever looked at a textbook that has a picture of a plant that it maybe has had a part of it cut out, and then they've taken a picture of it, you can see where the outline has been. And this is that aura that I was talking about. You know, it's the aura that is showing that missing piece. Sometimes you've heard people talk about phantom pain in a limb that is missing. And they can take a picture of a person's missing limb and actually see the energy field where that limb once was. There is a book out right now called The Power of Eight, and the author is Lynn McTaggart. And it actually looks at how our energy as people are capable of healing a person or an animal. It's a lot like the Reiki energy that I use for healing purposes. But this book is pretty fascinating because it shows how small groups of eight people worked together just by intention. They focused their intention on the person or the animal and the condition that that person or animal had. And by focusing this intention, they were able to heal that particular situation. The research is actually in this book about how they did it and this concept of healing. Dr. Emoto also did similar experiments a number of years ago with water. And he showed that how the molecular structure of water changed when thoughts towards the water became either negative or positive. So when anger was directed towards the water, as an example, or hate messages or something like that, you got totally different structures when they photographed it than when you sent the water messages of love. There was also a movie that was made probably at least maybe 20 years ago now that was called What the Bleep Do We Know? And the deaf actress Marley Matlin played the lead role. And I've used this in the past when teaching college-level psychology courses. Because again, it shows how our emotions create situations around us that we're not even aware of. And how people, especially if you've lost one of your senses, like Marley with her being deaf, then her other senses are much more acute. And as a result, she could feel things that maybe the average person wasn't even aware of. I suspect that that movie is still available on Netflix if you'd like to see it. So then how do the chakras and the endocrine system relate to one another? And you can kind of see that they're related through this energetic system of like networking messages, because it comes through our nervous system as well as our physical system. So it communicates and it controls and it coordinates all of our bodily functions. There is a corresponding endocrine gland for each one of your chakras. So what I want you to kind of understand here is that if that chakra is balanced, if the energy is working properly there, then it would stand to reason that the organ that's in that endocrine system should be balanced, and there wouldn't be any health challenges then with that area. However, the opposite is also true, that if a particular chakra is not balanced, then the organ that's located there is most likely out of balance as well. So many of you that are listening right now probably have heard the name Edgar Cayce. And, you know, he wrote a lot of different books and had a lot of different theories, and some of them were kind of out there. But one of the things that he did say is that he believed that the hormonal system and the endocrine system were pathways for healing any illness. And that's actually a good thing, because if we keep those healthy, then we should live very, very long lives. It's possible also that our glands are connective points and that they actually link us with our spirit or soul. Another person who's written about this is Louise Hay, and she wrote a book called Heal Your Body, which addressed how we could change our health by changing our thoughts. It's also available on Amazon, and I would highly recommend looking at it. Finally, even Plato once said that our thymus was the warrior aspect of our body, and without the thymus, man would be nothing but a brilliant animal. More recently, the medical director at the Deepak Chopra Center said that when standard treatments don't work, it's time to look deeper for the underlying problems, such as inflammation, nutritional deficiencies, hormonal imbalances, toxicity, or emotional turmoil. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our doctors today took that approach, rather than prescribing medication, since a lot of the medications have very serious side effects? Even traditional Chinese medicine teaches us that our emotions are directly related to our body's organs. They have said that the health of a person depends on clear and unobstructed communication between the strong and stable lower three chakras and the upper three chakras. So, what are these lower three? Well, the lower three have names, and so the bottom one is called the root chakra. The next one up is called the sacral, and the third one up is called the solar plexus. And then if you look at the upper three, they are the heart, the throat, and the third eye. And we're going to go into each one of those in just a couple of seconds. There is a difference between the lower three and the upper three, because the lower three chakras have to do with our being rooted, being part of Mother Earth, understanding yourself, understanding your relationships as a human being. The upper three energy vortexes or chakras deal with emotion. They deal with expression, intuition, and eventually to opening yourself up to spirit. So our body speaks to us in very, very subtle ways. And if we don't listen, it does become more vocal. And that's when disease appears. The question then becomes, what is your body trying to tell you? Our chakras govern that mind-body connection, and they can serve as a detective for figuring out what isn't working properly within you. I actually chose the name for this program, The Synergy Connection, based upon the understanding that we are four in one. We are spiritual, we are mental, we are physical, and we are emotional beings. We are connected on all four levels. So the focus of this show is to help you connect those dots, because you're not just one thing, you're four things. If you fail to connect the dots between these four centers, your health can become compromised. If your emotions and these energetic centers go out of balance, disease can enter the picture. And unfortunately, once you enter the world of disease, you enter a vicious cycle between the illness and the pharmaceutical world. Unfortunately, sometimes it can be nearly impossible to put your life back on track when this happens. So how many of you have heard of people who get a diagnosis and they get placed on a drug, and the next thing you know, they've been prescribed a second drug to counteract the side effects of the first drug? And pretty soon they're taking between 3, 4, or 5 drugs because of all of the side effects from each one. Now, I heard a story recently, and I thought it was actually pretty humorous, but it was about a 92-year-old man who they had given a memory test. They wanted to check and see how his memory was doing. And he didn't do as well as what they expected him to do, although I don't know what that expectation really was. But they decided that he ought to be placed on an Alzheimer's medication. Well, the side effect of that medication for this 92-year-old man was that he had bladder issues and incontinence. So they went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, not a problem. We're going to give him a drug to manage that particular side effect. Well, the side effect from the second drug led him to become very aggressive. And so in this case, the family was pretty intelligent, and they went online and they looked up the side effects of the two drugs that the doctor had recommended. And sure enough, the first medication had a side effect of incontinence and bladder complications, and the second drug had a side effect of aggression. And so they took him off of those two drugs, and he returned to being his 92-year-old, somewhat forgetful self. But he did come back to where he was before. They didn't leave him on those drugs long enough to have very serious side effects. So remember the old saying of physician, heal thyself? Well, what I'm going to tell you is that we are our own best physician. We need to learn to listen to our bodies. Is there something in your past that might be affecting your ability to clear a particular chakra? So we're going to explore those areas where our emotions and our energy play with the organs that are in those energy centers. So here we go. Chakra number one, as I said before, is at the bottom of the spine, and it is called the base or the root chakra. The color for this one is red, because that represents energy. It's the energy that you need for life. Now, we can use stones and sometimes crystals to help us heal those areas. If you carry them with you or you touch them throughout the day, that's an important thing. So the stones for the root chakra are garnets. And if you have a garnet ring, you could wear it, or a necklace that has garnet in it. You can also use black tourmaline. I have a big hunk of black tourmaline that sits in my office, and that's a grounding stone. the spiritual lesson of the root chakra is becoming one with Mother Earth. It also relates to our survival skills. And if you remember my talking about Sun Bear and doing that program with him at Shaw's Botanical Garden, that's what he was having us do, is to get out there with Mother Earth and to feel her, you know, hugging a tree, walking around barefoot, having leaves on top of us, and feeling that sensation of being rooted into the earth. So the body parts that are ruled by the root chakra are the spinal column itself, our feet, our legs, our hips, the adrenal glands, the colon, and our external sexual organs. Now, the adrenal gland may be the most important gland here, and it sits on top of each kidney. There's one on each one. And these glands produce adrenaline, which stimulates the fight or flight response. And I'm sure all of you have heard of that. And that's tied directly to the survival drive. It's also responsible for the body's heat and circulation. If we've had disruptions early in our life, such as a birth trauma, maybe we were born prematurely and had to be in an intensive care unit, an incubator, you know, where the preemies are, for a period of weeks or sometimes even a month or more, that is a major issue, you know, for building this root chakra. Abandonment by our parents. Sometimes parents give their children up. Sometimes they might die, you know, so, and the child would see that as abandonment. Abuse, whether it's emotional abuse or sexual abuse. Major illnesses, surgeries, growing up in an unsafe environment, all of those things can be at the foundation of issues with this particular chakra. So health problems here can be arthritis, bladder problems, sciatica nerve issues, balancing when you walk, and extreme fatigue. And that's just to name a few. One of the things that are being diagnosed with some difficulty is what they call adrenal fatigue. And there's not very many tests that doctors can run to actually diagnose this. There are a couple. They're outside of the scope of most coverages, you know, by insurance companies. But you can get a diagnosis if you're willing to pay for that particular test. So what are some ways that we can balance the root chakra? Some of these we've talked about, you know, in the past, because all of these programs are somewhat interrelated. But meditation, and we've talked about mindfulness. You can use an affirmation throughout the day. Remind yourself that you're safe, and that you are rooted to the earth. Diet, eating foods that will feed the root chakra are going to be foods that are primarily red in color. So you might want to Google, you know, what are some of the more common red foods that you can eat? If you're eating fish, this might be actually wild salmon as opposed to farm-raised salmon, which is more orange and not as healthy for you because it has chemicals in it. Strawberries, raspberries, red peppers, you know, think of things that are red in color, and those are the ones that the root chakra actually needs. Making sure that you're grounded each and every day. So we've talked about this, you know, you can walk barefoot. If you live near the beach, go walk on the beach, walk on the sand, but walk in the grass. Do something that reconnects you to the earth. And in some cases, psychotherapy is probably going to be necessary if the problem is due to serious disruptions that were in your childhood. All right, so we're going to look at the second chakra, and that's right below the navel. So if you take your fingers and kind of go about two fingers, maybe three fingers below the belly button, that's where this chakra is located. So it's the sacral, S-A-C-R-A-L, chakra. And the color here is orange. So we go from red to orange. The stones that you might be able to work with here are going to be carnelian or an orange calcite, which is really quite beautiful. I would recommend that you place those stones like where you work, or if you wanted to carry a piece of it throughout the day with you, but don't have that in your bedroom because it is for energy. It's for taking action. And so you don't want to have it where you're sleeping. The spiritual lesson for the sacral chakra is manifesting. What do you want to manifest? You're taking action to make this happen. And it's also for honoring relationships. And it's for learning to let go. The body parts that are ruled by the sacral are your hips, your lower back, the internal sexual organs, your kidneys, your bladder, and your pancreas. So if you are having health issues with any of those areas in your body, then you want to go back and you want to look at what this one is all about. You know, if you are having problems energetically, then it may be because, you know, you're not maintaining like the yin and the yang balances. Maybe you're not honoring your relationships. And it could be with a loved one that's a family member or somebody that you're in a relationship with, you know, with. You could have reproductive issues, maybe not being able to conceive. You could have issues with aggression. I have a lot of people that I've seen that have constant lower back pain. Maybe it's because their self-esteem has been impacted. So if this chakra is underdeveloped, there's going to be a tendency to be stiff and unemotional. And some people may even say, well, that person's not even approachable. If the chakra is overdeveloped, just the opposite, you might be overly emotional and you could be too attached, you know, to people that are in your life. Balancing this particular chakra, I would say, you know, using Reiki energy, because Reiki energy goes exactly where it needs to go. You can also practice gratitude. And you could write down three things that you are grateful for at the end of every day. You also need to stay active with this particular sacral chakra. Exercise, walk, swim, do something physical every day. An affirmation for this chakra might be that I feel whole and complete. And the foods that are going to balance this one are foods that are like fish that are rich in omega-3s, nuts, seeds, flax seed, poppy seed, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. Those are all good. Coconuts. And finally, orange foods. And you've got a lot of food to choose from here that's orange. Carrots, sweet potatoes, peaches, oranges, of course, apricots, mangoes, papayas, pumpkins, all of those things are going to be beneficial. All right, now we didn't get nearly as far as I'd like to get. We're going to finish this up with the rest of the chakras and all of the information that you need to know about each one next week. So we're going to need to stop for today. But I hope that you're beginning to understand how these energy centers in our body are so tightly related to our physical health, and that when you have one that's not working, you're going to have complications in your physical health. Future guests that I'm going to have on the show are going to relate their experiences with these chakras and our health. Dr. Nelson is going to be back to talk about addictions. I think she went to see Star is Born, and she's going to be able to relate to that movie very easily. I'm having a Dr. Dewey here. They call him Trey, but he's going to share his information on understanding CBD oil and its uses. And Kristen is going to be joining us in a few weeks to explain theta healing. So I hope that everyone has a wonderful weekend. Be sure to send me any questions, and remember that we're all working together to make this our best life.